Praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere. Welcome to Church Online right here at Kingdom Life Church. I cannot wait to share the word of the Lord with you today. We're in the second week of 2021, and I'm excited to hear what the Lord is going to say to us today. I want you to be on the lookout for a few things that we have coming your way, more opportunities for engagement. I'm going to be doing a few sessions on growth. That's right. I'm going to be stepping out doing a few sessions on growth, and I want you to join me, and I'm going to be on a new platform that I want you to join me on. You know, they have all of these social media apps, all of these little new things going on. I can't TikTok. I'm not going to be a TikToker. I can tell you that right now, but I am going to be on Clubhouse. And if you haven't joined me on Clubhouse, look for me on Clubhouse at M Phillips on Clubhouse. It's a new place to gather, and I'm going to be having some discussions on growth at the end of the month. Don't worry, I'll send out all that information. You'll be able to get it, and I look forward to it. So I just want to engage with you a little bit more, talk with you a little bit more in 2021, help grow you, help develop you, help encourage you to go after the things that are in your heart to do and give you some tools to be able to do it. So look out and join me on some of those platforms. Also, we're going to be wrapping up our house calls. If you joined us in 2020 virtually, just having discussion for your age or stage in life, we want to continue to do that for you. And I want you to be on the lookout for that as well. If you have your Bible, wherever you're situated in your home or in your car or whatever room you're in, whatever device you're on, I want you to get your Bible and I want you to go to Matthew's Gospel, the 26th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And we're going to pick this up at verse 36. Matthew's Gospel, the 26th chapter, and we want to pick it up at verse 36, and I'm going to read about 10 verses to you so that I can put this text in this proper context, and I can't wait to hear, thus saith the Lord. Matthew's Gospel, the 26th chapter, verse 36 says this, "Then comes Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. And as he comes unto the disciples and finds them asleep, he said unto Peter, What could you not watch for me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again. And he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that does betray me. Beloved, I want to talk with you from the next few moments we have together about the audacity of walking with God. The audacity of walking with God. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this moment, this opportunity and time that you have given us to hear a word from you. Father, it is only you, it is only you, it is only you that can bring forth the word. I am nothing but a vessel this morning. Anoint this vessel of clay that the word would flow through to be a blessing to the hearer. Let the word, Father, touch every heart so it's open to receive the word. Anoint every ear so it's able to hear it. When the word comes forth, it has the power to quicken us, to make us come alive, to separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of our heart. As that type of word comes to us, Father God, let us receive it with great anticipation for the transformation to come. We thank you in advance for what you're doing, what you have done, and we thank you, Father, for what you are about to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, right where you are, go ahead and say amen. This is not an unfamiliar text to many of us of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples immediately after the Last Supper, instituting a new concept and idea that we call communion. It is Jesus who has spent 33 and a half years on the earth up until that point, and he is preparing or has been preparing his disciples for the job, for the process that he had to go through to become the lamb slain that would take away the sins of the world. There were breadcrumbs that he would give his disciples along the way in the 3.5 years that he discipled them to tell them who he was and to also share with them what he had to go through. He would tell his disciples often or to the Pharisees, if you tear this temple down in 3 days, I'll resurrect it again. He had to tell his disciples that the Son of Man will be betrayed and he will go through this ordeal. And he would constantly remind them of the process that was to come. But this was the moment of the process. This was the moment where it was about to begin. And before the moment of that process, there was this contemplative prayer, this opportunity for the disciples to come with him, but he didn't take everybody. Can I tell you that we say that often in our church culture, that everybody cannot go with you, but in this instance, I want to remind you not to be someone that would be a proponent of cliches, but for running the risk of you not missing what God has for you, I want to inform you that yes, some processes does not allow everybody to participate. He took the 3 disciples that were closest to them, Peter, James, and John, and he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he gets there, he asks them to pray while he goes a little bit further along to pray on his own. This, to me, relates to the not knowing process of things. Along all side of our knowledge, along the side of all that we know, it's the equal and honest idea of what we don't know. It's being honest about what you do not know. That's going to help you propel forward in this year. And that's why we have to understand the importance and the power of making prayer a priority, is because prayer puts you in the posture to be honest about what you do not know. To let down your guard and to let down your defenses and to put yourself in a place of acknowledgement, to be still and know that he is God. It puts you in a place where only God can fill in the gaps in an unspeakable way, beyond words and fill in all of the empty spaces in between of the stuff that you want to try to calculate and want to try and figure out, and let God fill all those places. That's what prayer does. It's kind of a way of knowing. It's kind of a way of understanding. And all that getting, get understanding, but wisdom is the principal thing. And so my prayer is not to seek information, but to get wisdom. And this is what we're finding out in this story, that it's incredible and that's powerful. And there's a few points here that I think are vastly important. And that is that Jesus has had 3 significant moments in his life that I believe that were truly significant. And the first, of course, was the wilderness experience that he had when he was led to the wilderness by the Spirit of God to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, to be tempted of the devil. And coming through that situation, and the next significant moment in his life would be Gethsemane. The last, obviously, would be the cross. And Gethsemane is the middle of these experiences. It is the middle of his midnight. It is the middle of his dark moment, the middle of his dark place. And it's always the middle of anything that's messy. We're in the middle of a pandemic, a global one, and it is messy. We're in the middle of economic unrest, and it is messy. We're in the middle of changing how we worship. We're in the middle of how we work and how we live and how we interact. We're in the middle of it. And for many of us, that middle is a midnight. It is a very dark moment. And Jesus is there in the middle of it. And he has three of his disciples with him. In the middle of it all, you can still know, but that knowing has to be a spiritual way. And by a spiritual way, I don't mean something so ethereal, so out there that's untouchable. I'm talking about being grounded in the knowledge of God's word. And so it's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:13, to know spiritual things in a spiritual way. To not dismiss the unique and interior access point of the knowledge of God. To understand that God has a certain way of doing things that are usually and typically diametrically opposed and mutually exclusive from how the world operates. God said through Isaiah, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And he did not say that to suggest that we cannot obtain them. He was simply saying that I think differently. And this is why Paul comes along and says that we've gained the mind of Christ, that we can access how to think like our Father. But that requires a connection to him. It requires going to him where we're in the middle of whatever it is we're dealing with in prayer. Strangely enough, for us, it is this unknowing that offers us a new kind of understanding. And this is why you have to brace uncertainty and not use it as a point of anxiety. The uncertainty, yes, can be disturbing, it can be uncomfortable, but you can still not be anxious for anything and in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, present your request to God so that the peace of God can come and guard your heart and mind and your understanding. But we can have a new way of knowing, a new way of understanding. And we have a word for it in our tradition. It's called faith. It's called faith. Faith is a kind of knowing that doesn't need to know for certain. I'm going to say that again. Faith is knowing that doesn't need to know for certain. But yet it doesn't dismiss knowledge either. Faith can hold the tension of reality and of my theology. It can hold the tension of what God said and what is going on in my life at the same time. Because faith always exists in the now. Oh, glory to God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith can only make its stance in now. Faith rests in the middle. It doesn't move forward. It doesn't move backward. It sits in the middle of whatever you're in and suggests that I can still have knowledge and yet there could be a different way of knowing. That's how powerful faith is. And with faith, we don't need to obtain or hold on to information, to the accumulation of knowledge, because we know that we are being held by a much larger thing, by a much larger perspective. As Paul says, for we know, for we now see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. We only know in part. Now I know only in part, but then I will know fully. What are you dealing with now that you only know in part? That you're about to give up on before you know fully? And when we stare into this text that we jumped into, Jesus is bringing the disciples into what they knew in part, but what he knew fully. Oh, stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this thing. And as Paul says that now I only know in part, then I know fully, just as I have been fully known myself. I don't want you to miss that part of what Paul said. Just as I have been fully known myself, God knows exactly where you are fully. It is a knowing by participation with instead of an observation of. I have to stay in this middle and participate with what God said and the process that it entails instead of trying to observe it as a bystander. I've got to go through it. Oh, God, you ought to say, I've got to go through it. I've got to go through it. Right where you are in your house, wherever it is you're dealing with, just tell yourself, I've got to go through it. It's okay. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil. I've got to go through it. I can't go around it. I've got to go through it. Because if I don't go through it, how will I ever know that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies? If I don't go through it, how will I discover that his rod and his staff is there to comfort me and to guide me? If I don't go through it, how can I look behind me when I want to turn around and go the other way and discover that his goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life? I've got to go through it, and it's okay. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to get to the other side of it. And that's the power of faith, and it is this ability to know that doesn't need to know for certain. I think that's an amazing thing. See, love always precedes knowledge. And that's why Paul said, just as I am fully known. It's the conclusion that God loves me. And whatever it is I got to go through, he got me through it. Oh, God, do you hear what I'm saying? I know he loves me. There's no question in my mind that he loves me because I disappointed him a million times and he's still there for me. I turned my back on him and he's still there for me. Peter is right there with him and he's going to deny him real soon. Do you hear what I'm saying? But he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's with us to the very end. Peter knew he was going to deny him because Jesus told he was going to do it. Just as I am fully known. And it is here that you discover that love precedes knowledge. It is here that you find out that the mind alone is not going to get you there. That's an arrogant assumption that you can think your way through it. Oh, God, you can't think your way through it. Paul said, I think myself happy. I'm not trying to think myself through it. I'm just trying to think myself happy while I'm going through it. The mind alone can't get you there. It cannot get you there. And that's why prayer becomes so powerful, because it brings you face to face without any religious makeup on, naked, bare, just you and God. To discover what's really going on. And what I find in this story is a hidden wholeness that nobody can see. Because Jesus begins praying in Gethsemane, in the garden. And as he begins praying, he opens up his prayer unto the Father in a powerful way. The Bible says, as he comes along and comes out of all of this and brings his disciples into this moment, he goes to pray yonder. And as he goes to pray yonder, he opens up to the Father and says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That's his opening statement. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. That was his open prayer request. He's saying, I know, but I didn't know. Now, what you have to understand about who we're talking about is Jesus. the Son of the living God. No, Jesus, the Word of God, the Lamb slain. All things were made by him, and there was nothing that was made that wasn't made by him. Jesus is who we're talking about. The omniscient, omnipotent Jesus. That means he knew what he was going to go through. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. He knew, fully aware, that he was going to be the Lamb slain, that he was going to have to die and suffer. He knew. Yet, he says, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Why? Because he's all God, and yet he's all man. Oh, you got to hear what I'm saying. God is giving us a front row seat on the challenge of not knowing. I know that I got to go through it, but I didn't know it was going to be like this. I know when you're pregnant, you know you're going to have a baby, but you have no clue of what that process is going to feel like. Even after you had your first one, you have a little idea about the pressure and the pain and the posture and the cravings and all the things that you have to deal with. But when it comes time to push, you don't know how painful it's going to be, regardless of how many times you have done it. And this is what we're peeking in on. Jesus saying to us, I know, but I don't know. And so he wants to have comfort of association around him because there is this process that I don't know if I'm going to make it through. And he brings three of his closest, his confidants, his dogs, his boys, his road dog, his rider dies. Come on with me. Let's pray. Tarry here because my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. You're stepping into 2021, and you're looking around you, assessing who can you trust to be with you in the middle. And the list is small. Oh, God, I have mercy. The list is small because as much as they care for Jesus, they ain't him. And as much as your friends and family care for you, they're not you. Nobody really knows the pressure that you're really under. They can talk about it, but they can't feel it. But when you can feel it, oh God, your prayer is different than the individuals who can't. It's easy to sleep when you can't feel it. But when you feel it yourself, it's hard to rest. And that's where Jesus is. He can feel the pressure, and he's under the pressure. And he goes a little further and falls on his face and says, if it's possible, can you change the pressure? But nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. Right there in that moment, he is teaching us something very powerful. He's showing us how not to turn the idea of faith around 180 degrees. He's showing us that we don't have to write to know for certain, to not make the Bible a predictable thing. I feel like preaching to somebody to stop seeking perfect assurance because the Bible never offers you that. It's called blessed assurance, not perfect assurance. And you're looking for this perfect scenario and situation that ain't ever going to come, that ain't ever going to show up. And Jesus is teaching us that right in that very moment. How in the world can we think we can have the infinite mind and wisdom of God in our finite pocket? Oh, God, I feel like talking. How in the world have we come to the assumption that we can bring God down into us and reduce him to something as small as our circumstance. Jesus is fighting off perfect assurance. And that's why he said, if it's possible. It wasn't a bad thing. He just knows with God, all things are possible. If it's, is there another way? And if there's another way, I'm open, God. I'm open. Because when you're under pressure, it's like, which way you want me to go? I have no preference right now. This pressure, I want to be gone. This pain, I want to be over. This situation, I want to be out of. And is there another way? He's asking God, is there another way? And while he's asking God, is there another way? He comes and finds the folk that are closest to him sleep. And he says to Peter, nobody else, couldn't you watch for an hour? Could you give me an hour? And he then says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He's telling Peter, I told you you were going to deny me, but I'm giving you an opportunity to bring your guard down. God, you don't hear what I'm saying. I'm giving you an opportunity, Peter, to stop being so defensive. The mind is not going to get you there. Put your knife down. You can't cut your way through this one. I'm talking to somebody right now. For every Peter out there that wants to handle their situation in anger, you cannot cut your way out of this. You got to go through it. You got to go through it. And Jesus goes back and prays. And he goes back and prays. And as he goes back and prays, he prays the second time, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He comes back with his own answer. He first said, is it possible? And the second time he said, if it's not possible and I got to drink it, so be it. You got to have a so be it attitude going into 2021. And if I got to go through this process, and if this is the process that God ordained, I got to know he's going to see me through it. So be it. So be it. And he says, so be it. It's the so be it that doesn't turn your Bible into a predictable thing. It's the so be it that keeps you to stop seeking perfect assurance. It's the so be it that doesn't allow you to put the infinite God in your finite pocket. So be it. So be it. And the reason why you can't put God in your finite pocket, because if God is not infinitely free to do what he needs to do, then you and I are in trouble. If he's bound to anything, there's a problem. And he's not. He's not bound to anything. Because the fact that he can forgive you and show mercy means he breaks his own rules. Oh, God, I'm preaching way better than you're shouting right now. Do you hear what I'm saying? He breaks his own rules. That's what mercy is. Mercy is God breaking his own rule. Do you understand that concept? And Jesus is learning and dealing with all of this in the flesh, real time, while knowing that this is the process. And he's giving us a front row seat on how to deal with the middle. The middle is always messy. The middle is always mayhem. The middle is always uncertainty. That's what the middle is. And as he's dealing with all of that, he's giving us this front row seat into it all. In the middle of it all. But in the middle, God often tells you good news. He strategically tells you good news in the middle of a bad experience so that you learn how to recalibrate your hope. And when you recalibrate your hope, you know, regardless of what the process is, there's life still ahead. I'm talking to somebody right now who's given up all hope. And I'm here to tell you, don't do it. Just recalibrate your hope, because hope is the substratum of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you got to hope against all hope. Recalibrate it right now in the name of Jesus and pick that hope back up again. That sense of expectation that God is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. And as you pick it back up again, say, so let it be. If this is what I got to go through, so let it be. And this is what he does. But here's the part of the text that messed me up. He came and found them asleep again. Their eyes were heavy. They couldn't hang with them. Their eyes were heavy. And he finds himself alone. And it is the worst thing to be under the cloud of not knowing, all by yourself, alone. Even God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so Jesus is here by himself, wrestling with his process alone. And as he's wrestling with his process alone, God is not changing his mind about the process. It was Paul who asked the Lord to remove the thorn from his side. Three times he asked him, just like three times Jesus entreated the Father. And God's response to Paul was, my grace is sufficient for you. Whatever it is you are dealing with right now, whatever it is you're wrestling with in the middle of it right now, I came to tell somebody that God's grace is sufficient for you. It is enough to get you through it. You don't have to get out of it, but you do have to get through it. And if you get through it, you're going to have another level of power and authority that you're going to be able to walk in once you get through it. Just slap somebody around you a high five. I don't care if it's yourself, and give yourself a high five and say, God's grace is all over me right now to get through whatever I got to get through. And if I can get through it, I'm going to walk in resurrection power, so that whenever I experience a moment like this that defeats me unto death, I know I'm going to get back up again. My business is going to get back up again. My health is going to get back up again. My life is going to get back up again, because that's the power that is produced when you go through it. And he chooses to go through it. And he chooses to go through it because he can't get help from his disciples. And he now realizes his help is going to come from God. And it is in this moment that we peer into this text to see the power therein. And the power is in this text is that when you ain't got nobody else, you got God. When you ain't got nobody else to pray you through, you got God. He comes back the third time and he finds them sleeping. But when he finds them sleeping, he goes back and he says the same words. You know, you got to be going through it when you ain't got no more words to give unto the Lord. And the third time he says the same words. If it's possible, if I got to drink this cup, so let it be. So let it be. Got down into his spirit that he ain't have nothing else to ask God, because he understands that God's mind is made up and he's got to go through what he's got to go through. And he comes back to the disciples, not looking for their help, but to let them know, you can rest on. God's got me from here. I came to tell somebody that God's got you from here. Tell your friends and tell your family and everybody that you was trying to lean on, you can rest on, because God's got me from here. I'm not leaning on on my own understanding, but in all my ways I'm acknowledging him, and he's about to make my path straight. God's got me from here. From this point on in the year, God's got me. He's got me in my business. He's got me on my job. He's got me in my marriage. He's got me in my health. He's got me in my mind. God's got me from here. God's got you from here, baby. You don't need everybody you thought you needed. And you don't need to lean on all the things you thought you needed to lean on. God has got you from here. This is the audacity of walking with God. That when you're in the Garden of Gethsemane of your life, the pressure, the place of crushing, that God has got you from here. Gethsemane means the place of crushing, the oil press. It is the garden that sits on the Mount of Olives. Across the Kidron Valley, you can see the city of Jerusalem from this mountain. Often Jesus would go there to pray because his prayer was practice for his process. Look, and now the process is here. And he had no knowledge of what it would feel like. But it felt like great sorrow in his soul, to the point that blood was coming out of his body. And while he's going through that level of pressure, he's surrounded by graveyards because he knows he's about to face death. Because there's a garden in the middle of the graveyard. That's what the Mount of Olives is. Two graveyards sitting on a hill. And the Garden of Gethsemane sits at the bottom in between two graveyards. Oh God. And Jesus is praying in the middle of what he's about to go through because he knows he's about to see death. But what death doesn't know about him is that it can't hold him back because God's got him from here. When he goes down the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, he finds out that God's got him from here, and he's carrying his cross, and he's being whipped and beaten and spit on, but God's got him from here. And when he can't carry it no more, there's a man by the name of Simon from Cyrene who picks up his cross the rest of the way because God has got him from here. And when he steps, my God, onto Golgotha, the hill of the skull, Calvary's hill, to be crucified and bleeds out for all of humanity, God still has him from here. And when they pierce him in his side and the water and the blood comes out to show new life, God's got him from here. And the hour was near where they wanted to leave and said, let's break their bones to find out if they're dead. But the Bible prophesied that not one bone in his body would be broken because God had it from here. So they pierced him in his side and new life came out. And they took him down off the tomb and wrapped him in the Jewish custom and tradition of burial. But on the third day, everybody found out that God had him from there. And he rose with all power in his hand. I'm here to tell you, when you go through it, you discover that God's got you from here. The audacity of walking with God says, God has me from here. And wherever your here is, God's got you. God's got you. If you're starting all over, God's got you. If the whole thing's collapsing, you're standing on the rubble, God's got you. If you're frightened and you're terrified about moving forward, God's got you. If you're stepping into a new opportunity, God's got you. If you're fearful about what you're about to lose, God's got you. God has got you from here. And so the audacity of walking with God is that if I got to walk through my own Gethsemane and be crushed, God's got me from here. Because all the crushing is going to do is produce the oil I need for my life. It is the anointing that destroys the yoke. God has got me from here. Make that your declaration all week long. God's got me from here. Whatever it is you're in the middle of, God's got you from here. Everything's going to be all right. because God has got you from here. Keep walking. Keep moving. Keep striving. Keep believing. Keep hoping, because God has got you from here. I pray for every individual stuck in the middle, struggling in the middle, hopeless in the middle, anxious in the middle, worried in the middle, insecure in the middle. I pray God's peace upon you right where you are. And I tell you that you don't need to come out of it. You need to go through it. That's your out. Then as you go through it, you will discover that God has got you from here. In Jesus' mighty name, his peace be upon you, shelter you, cover you, keep you in perfect peace as your mind stays stayed upon him. In the mighty name of Jesus, I come against all anxiety and depression and oppression. I come against the fatigue that's in your spirit, and I say, be strengthened with might in the inner man. I pray that you learn how to wait upon the Lord, and as you wait, your strength be renewed, that you are mounting up at this very moment to soar like you got eagle's wings, that your feet are being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that if you got to walk, you're going to walk in peace. And if you got to run, you're going to do it like you got hind's feet. I pray that God set your feet upon a rock and establish your goings, because he's got you from here. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Amen and amen and amen. I pray this word bless you. I pray it encourage you and lift your spirit. I pray it embolden you to keep going and to keep walking and to go through it and to have audacity shamelessly as you do, because God has you from here. Beloved, would you consider being a blessing to this ministry by sowing financially into it? We know and believe that God is going to give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men shall find you and give back to your pocket. Not like you gave it, but it will be overflowing in abundance. I pray and believe that as you sow in faith believing, God in return will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. You can do it today. Text to give, give KLC to 73256. The words give KLC to 73256. You can also give on our website if you would like, or download our church app and give on that platform, or mail it into the ministry, however you would like to do it. But do it as unto the Lord and be a blessing to somebody as we continue to minister to all those who are in need. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you, and may his precious blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, and I'll see you next week.